chapter 2. The Bible is so amazing, and you take portions and read them so many times, and then you begin to study and study, and then all these things come up, and it is just amazing. What a wonderful, wonderful book we have in our hands. I tell people that this is the greatest book ever, ever given to man, and ever will be given to man. That's the Word of God. And treasure the Word of God, brothers and sisters. So let's turn to Luke chapter 2. I have covered some portions, but I will cover more. Luke chapter 2, beginning verse 34. Verse 34. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Now look at verse 35. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I've been thinking about this and thinking, of course, I've been thinking about it a long, long, long time, but since I've been covering this word, this chapter, what a serious warning. I know that Peter was told that he knew somehow that he was going to be led and be put to death, and Paul was ready to do it. He was talking about the suffering, fellowship of his sufferings, and then, of course, being made conformable unto his death. But here's this lady, and after Simeon takes care of the things that he needs to take care of, as they brought baby Jesus after 40 days for purification. And here's Simeon, he talks about what the Lord is going to be doing and how the child is going to be set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and of course for a sign that shall be spoken of. But, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. I've been thinking about Mary, and I have thought about her off and on for a long, 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 long time. I think that she is the greatest woman mentioned in the Bible. I've thought about many, many, many wonderful, wonderful women. Deborah, a mother in Israel. You have Ruth, the Moabitess, leaving her family, her people, and coming to be associated with the Lord and the Lord's people. I think of Sarah. I think of all those wonderful women, wonderful women. And I really believe that Mary excels them all. He was declared to be blessed among women. Now, the only other woman, to my knowledge, was Jael in the Old Testament. And, of course, Barak was running, following Sisera. And, of course, Jael had taken care of Sisera. He was in her tent. And here she looks out, and there's Barak coming. And says, come on over, I think I have the person that you're looking for. So go in the tent. So he comes in the tent. There's a spike right in his forehead, and he's nailed to the ground. He can't even move if he wanted to. Dead. Yes, she was blessed among women. But here is Mary, declared to be blessed among women, and she's going to be expecting a baby. She is going to be expecting a baby. She has been very highly favored. And it says, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And, of course, you're going to be blessed. And that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. How can these things be? The Holy Ghost is going to come upon thee. And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. When I think about this, you young ladies, and here's Mary. She doesn't know a man. She's not married. She's engaged to be married. And she's going to have a baby. Can you imagine in the history of the Jewish people, what happened to a woman who had a baby, who was not married? She's probably thinking, going through her mind over and over. They may put me to death. Or you're highly favored. You're going to be looked after. What about Joseph? He's promised to marry me, and I have promised to marry him. What about him? The Holy Ghost is going to come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. But here's what she says. Look at this, brothers and sisters. She says, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. The handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. I am willing to put myself in the hands of the Lord, and am just a handmaid. And she is crying through the ages, don't make me more than that. Don't make me mother of God. I am the handmaid. Don't try to set me up on the pedestal. That's not where I belong. But I'm going to bring forth by God's grace and love one who is going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. What a testimony. What a testimony this lady had. Indeed, I think probably the greatest honor. And she was a person of greatest spiritual quality. And we need to think about that, about this lady. A lot of times, the evangelicals shy away from thinking that, well, you know, some other religions and so on, or other churches may really take her up so high, and we don't want to. Well, yeah, but don't try to. She was the handmaid of the Lord. She's very dear to me, very dear to all of us. What a dear, dear, dear lady she was. She was well favored by God. She should be well favored by us as well. So, and yet, she had to go through untold suffering. She is blessed, she's well favored, but she has to go through untold suffering. So, First of all, of course, Joseph. Mary was espoused to Joseph, and of course, Joseph being a young man. And here, suffering begins right away. Well, he's thinking, oh, wait a minute, what's happening here? The woman I'm going to marry is expecting. What am I going to do? And I'm a righteous man. I don't know what to do. It's a predicament. And so what he is being, a just man, says, was minded to put her away privily. Look, this is something that's extremely, extremely serious. And I just want to put her away privily, in a very private way, and not really make a big to-do over it. But then, of course, an angel appears unto Joseph and assures Joseph to fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. Well, people think that Mary was not married. But God encourages Joseph. He says, hey, don't you hold back. You better go and marry Mary, your wife. She is the best woman available anywhere. And Joseph listens. And he marries her. And Mary gets married. Let's not forget that. Mary gets married. And because of this, a lot of religions, some churches have downgraded the value of marriage. Marriage was instituted by God. Be fruitful and multiply. It's not good for man to be alone. I will make a woman, a help meet, a help suitable for him. And then that she becomes his flesh, his blood, his whole bone, his being. Instituted by God. And the scripture emphasizes the sanctity of marriage. The sanctity of marriage. Holy. Marriage is holy. And God says, and the bed undefiled. So just as I'm passing here, I better just go ahead and mention the sanctity of marriage. God instituted marriage. Now Paul says that God has given people, some men, special gift not to marry. That's fine. If God has given somebody a gift not to marry, that's fine. Paul was such a man. But then marriage is basically instituted by God. So now, so it seems like after the Lord Jesus Christ is born, his childhood days in Nazareth, and early manhood in Carpentry were probably the happiest days of Mary's life and his life. He was obscure. He was just a man. He was just an ordinary man. If we had seen the Lord Jesus Christ when he was a carpenter, we would have thought, well, he's just a man, a poor man, a clean man. We can't find any fault in the man, but just a man. And that was the happiest time of her life, it seems to me like. But then, in those quiet years, she had gotten that warning, that severe warning, the sword is going to come. And she was full of expectations and fears and full of dread and curiosity that was going through her heart. Something is going to happen to this special son, to this special child I have. Something very bad is going to happen, so much so that it's going to even pierce me through my heart. What a lady. She was thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the warning from God, of course, must have contributed greatly to fortify the mind. her mind. And yes, she knows she's blessed. She knows she's favored. And yet there is this shortcoming, and yet she knows she's in good hands, because that son, that baby that's going to come and is come, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Holy One who is the Son of God. There's some satisfaction that somehow everything is God, in God's hand, and this child is the Son of God, and everything is going to turn out to be good, to end up good. But in the meanwhile, I have to go through this thing. And it's not going to be pleasant. It's not going to be happy. Contentment, yes, maybe. But she has to go through. Even though her faith was agitated and tormented by various temptations, and yet the sorest battle was to be with the cross. Because there, she takes one look at her beloved son hanging, appears to be utterly destroyed. And she's looking and looking. And it's going to require a heart of stone not to be really so deeply, deeply wounded. Now, when he was living, he was alive before he died. We see all sorrows that Mary had when the Lord Jesus Christ had sorrows. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So was she. As his mother, they were hurling all kinds of accusations and all kinds of blasphemies against him and toward him, and it was ricocheting, coming right to her. And she was a woman of sorrow from the cradle to his cross. His sorrows were like so many darts or javelins kept rebounding from him to her. And of course, they pierced through her soul in so many ways. Well, first of all, when he was born, I don't know exactly how old he was, but he was a baby. Here it is. Oh, the King of the Jews is born. Oh, we have the King of the Jews. Wow. These wise men from the East, they ridiculed me. They undermined my request to come back and tell me what that child is. So, just to make sure that King of the Jews doesn't grow up to be King of the Jews, I'm going to see to it that he's not going to be, so he wipes out. He orders the killing of all the infants 2 years and under, not only in Bethlehem, but all the surrounding areas, to make sure that his target is within that area. Slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the course thereof, from 2 years old and under. Amazing. And then, of course, another sorrow when they went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, and here they're coming back. And my guess is, my guess, because this is how the travel mode used to be at that time, that they were a part of maybe a small caravan, because there are a lot of people who were traveling to the same destination, went together, because, you know, you could never tell, you know, at night. So, you know, like Muhammad was a great thief. He'd go and attack the caravans and kill and did everything. But anyway, here, maybe they were a part of the caravan going back, and all of a sudden, well, all these kids are around, and somehow, well, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus now? And they, curious, they tried to look and look and look. He's not there. He's not there. What's going through Mary's heart? Oh, what happened? What happened to my baby? Let's go back. They go back in 3 days. They're looking for him. Can you imagine the wounding in her heart? All those things going through. What is the sword is going to come to me and pierce me through? And what is this it? Is he gone? And then, of course, then they, as they returned, of course, the child Jesus had stayed behind, and then they found him in the temple. What a blessing that was to see him again, to see him again. And yes, the Lord was saying that he was about to do his father's business, but let's not think that he was cruel. He was very, very sympathetic. We have been looking for you, son. We have been looking for you. Yes, Mom, I know. Now, he sinned not. He was perfect in every way. And in a very nice way, very beautiful way, he made his mother to understand that these things have to take place. This is what I'm here for. So, and then, of course, when he was constantly exposed to danger among spiteful and malicious Jews, even his brothers who were born after him. You see, Joseph and Mary got married. And they had children. People said she didn't get married. I don't know where she got those children from. That's even worse than what some people accuse her of. She was married. She had children. And his brothers did not believe him. They told him to go into Judea and do your works there openly. If you do these things, show yourself openly. Just make a big name for yourself. That is the trend of the world. If you have come across something really, really good, if you didn't do it, if you could steal it, do it just so you be the first to present and be basically great. And you could make fame and money and what have you. He says, for neither did his brethren believe him. Well, what pain is that? But then, of course, never more than when she stood at his cross. There she is, standing there, and she is watching him in his agonies, stretched and extended on that cross, and bleeding, and gasping for air. And they tell me a lot of people on the cross die of asphyxiation. They can't breathe. And of course, when the blood goes out, they of course suffocate anyway, dying and gasping. And as I was thinking, I really don't know how much of Christ's suffering before he was led to the cross Mary actually witnessed personally. But she indeed saw the effects of all those sufferings. First of all, the Lord Jesus Christ was scourged. Scourging. Brothers and sisters, we just read that scourge and just go by so fast. A lot of people died while they were being scourged. Some years ago, there was a movie that was out, and I don't know. I don't go to movies. I'm not. But anyway, the interesting thing was that the movie was depicted the passion, the Lord's passion, the sufferings, and I saw a clipping on the news. It was maybe about a minute or two that I watched. The actor who had acted the part of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they asked him about the scourging because apparently in this movie they really came down on him to make it as real as possible, tried to. And the man said, and this is, I never forgot it, said that before that scene took place, I was strapped with strips of wood on my back. Strips of wood on my back. But there was a part on my side that was open, that was not protected. And when that scourge came on me. A part of it caught me right on the side. And immediately, I passed out. He said, I just had no idea what was going on. I passed out. That impressed me. They beat our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ heartlessly. He was scourged. He had to stand in the midst of a vulgar and lewd band. They could hardly wait. You see, once a person was given up to be crucified under the Roman government, under the Roman law, of course, all the crucifixion took place for those who were subject to Rome. A Roman citizen could not be crucified. For the slaves could be crucified, would be crucified. And once they were condemned to die by crucifixion, that person lost all rights. He lost his monetary rights. He couldn't own anything. He lost his right of appeals. But he lost his right of protection. And this is why a lot of times mobs could go. They would not, because they, you know, didn't have much to do. But in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see these mad, angry mob going after the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet he was silent. They'd beaten on him. He was silent, meek, unresisting, enduring the most mean and cruel treatments from these ungodly, jealous people. They rained blows on his face, his defenseless face. He couldn't even protect his own face because his hands were tied. A crown of thorn on his head. A reed stuck right between his tied hands. And there they bowed before him the mocking knee and covered him with their disgusting spittle. I have mentioned this before. In the old country, if you want to really, really anger somebody, where he would start fighting you, you just spit at his face. Well, you never, the spear is not going to get there. He'll come at you with vengeance. They did that to the Lord Jesus Christ. Utter humiliation. Cran then pierced him with a prickly thorn, thrust a reed, of course, in his hand, stripped him. And with blows and taunt, they indulged their evil nature. They just kind of tried to satisfy their anger, their hatred toward the Son of God. And they get him to the cross. Now, how much of that did Mary actually witness? Well, she probably witnessed quite a bit. Well, she witnessed that he was stripped. She witnessed that there was sputum all over his face. She witnessed the end result, if nothing else. And there she is at the cross. And she's thinking, there's the sword. There's the sword. A mother, a father, a circumstance like that would rather die for their own children instead of their own children. And maybe that went through her mind too. Why not me? Why him? What has he done? A handmaid. A handmaid. He is the Son of God. A handmaid. Not uttering a word of reproach. Not exercising power of his own behalf. And that's what, again, humanly speaking, I cannot take it. Because we are poisoned with poison. We have poison. We're like snakes. The old man is like a snake. Strikes back, but strikes back. A lot of times, they like to strike before they're struck. And the Lord Jesus Christ is standing with all the power of the universe. All he has to say is just open his mouth, and yet he's quiet. He would not open his mouth. Silent and patient in his agony. He stands at the cross. And when she sees all the effects of his suffering, bleeding, and dying. What an amazing woman. How did she stand there? An amazing, amazing woman who is standing there and seeing her son suffer, blameless, and yet seemingly helpless, standing there and in suffering because of her love toward her son. But then, brothers and sisters, we have a few minutes left. I want to emphasize this. The sword. You see, the reason she suffered that piercing of the sword is because of her love toward our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, toward her son, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, Paul said. After that, after his death and resurrection, loyalty to Christ by his followers, the apostles, the disciples, and others, loyalty to him in that generation was, of course, a sword that has wounded and killed. And since then, through every generation, through many times and many, many places, it has meant violent persecution because we love the Lord. Nothing else. He hasn't done anything. Sometimes people blaspheme the name of the Lord. I said, well, let me ask you this. What is it that he has done so bad? He died for you, man. He died for you. He didn't have to die for you. He died for you, kicking him right on the shin without even, he died for you. People hate him. People hate him. And people who love the Lord Jesus Christ, they have met violent persecution, stripes, imprisonments, death. Death of multitudes and multitudes and multitudes because they professed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, like Mary did. One man, one of the commentators, actually even believed that even Mary was pierced literally with a sword, because we don't see that in the Bible. But then we don't. She's basically silent. So, believers have been exposed to hostility, reproach in many countries, to temporal loss, social disadvantage, lower station, struggling in life because a person is a Christian. Can you believe that? Yes. And I believe that that's going on even in this country now. When a person in the company is known to be a Christian, a believer and all that, a lot of times, I'm not saying all companies, but there's prejudice. Oh, that guy, he's a believer. He's kind of claims to be too straight or something. Struggling life, wounded spirit. But then John, the Lord Jesus Christ, says in John 14, he says, the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him. But thank God to as many as received him, gave you the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In 2 Timothy 3, we read, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And I read that verse and I thought, oh, you know, I haven't suffered any persecution. How close am I to the Lord? How close am I? The Lord wants us to regard this as an honor and a blessing. When Mary met all the sufferings, the intimation is that she was a blessed woman, very highly favored. And we're going to suffer persecution if we love him. And then, of course, He is the stumbling stone. Child was set for the fall of many. The truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth that he spoke. They were very, very offensive to all these highly religious people who hated him, wanted him dead. And the great of salvation he accomplished, he offended many of the leaders. We don't want you to speak of this name. People were getting saved. They didn't like it. They began persecuting. And then, of course, all this has proved to many a rock of offense. The name of Jesus and his followers has been a name of shame, hateful, despised, spoken against with intense bitterness, even today. A man told me he was just a man born of wedlock, and yet he used crude words. Oh, the grace of God, I didn't choke the guy. At one time, I may have tried. Also, of course, he is a stepping stone for the rising again by planting the feet on that safe rock. All sinners, humiliated and degraded, all of a sudden rise to honor, great honor, the greatest honor that the heavens can provide. The humble to hopefulness, the meek through Jesus Christ becomes strong, the blemished becomes beautiful. Brothers, born again Christians are beautiful people. I love them. The blemished become beautiful. The useless become helpful all of a sudden. Here we saw that Richie last Sunday, completely useless. And look at him today. Children of earth to the joy of heavenly world. With him. With the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be encouraged like Mary was. Oh, maybe at times she was discouraged, but when the cross of Jesus was risen, there she was up there, as close to him as she could get. And let us do the same. Our Father, thank you so much for this beautiful, 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 honorable lady's testimony. We thank you, Lord, a handmaid. Be it unto me whatever pleases the Lord, whatever. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony. And encourage us to do the same. Be submissive to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who loves us and who has given himself for us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks.